It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm trying to stay warm like everybody else.
Okay. So we had a number of interesting meetings this week, two in particular, the Borough Assembly and the School Board. Were you able to catch the Borough Assembly's version?
I did.
Ah, good.
It was a robust agenda, but actually got over, Mike. I think we're out of there by 7:38. So a meeting starts at 6. That's a pretty quick assembly meeting, which is not too unheard of during the holidays. But let's go over what they went over.
Okay. We can do that.
Everybody was in attendance. Mr. McKee was expected to call in, but he did not. So he was the only one missing. And the borough mayor started off with a special order of the day, which appointed officially Assemblyman Matthew Beck as a deputy mayor. He has served for the last couple of 3 years, I guess, and Mr. Halter has been mayor in that position. And he said, although Mr. Beck only has one more year before he terms out, he thought he'd done a good job, and he wanted him at his side, and that was a unanimous decision.
Wow. Vote of confidence, yes.
Yeah, vote of confidence for sure. So they started out with their reports from cities, and as usual, Mayor Cottle was there from the city of Wasilla. He started off by talking about his concern to what he's referred to before as the Culver Bill that went through in 2013 that affected the cities. It had to do with licensing fees. Mike, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, having changes in the licensing fees that were put through at that time where if you had a certain age of a car, you could license it sort of forever. He said the accounting has come through and that the city of Wasilla is down $310,000 from revenue from that particular piece of legislation. And he had talked to the mayor of the city of Houston, although she wasn't there, and there was a significant loss there, as well as the city of Palmer, which Mr. Nate Wallace chimed in later about. And their concern is that there is money left over in funds when the licensing fee was collected. And I think they see it there as an opportunity to get some payback. And so they were bringing that to the assembly's attention.
Okay.
Mr. Cottle went on to talk about how busy the city of Wasilla was and that the main post office, because of the holidays, much like city of Palmer, has extended hours. There's lots of local bazaars going on. Of course, the Friendship Dinner is over there on Christmas Eve. They just feed thousands of people. I'm always looking for volunteers, and they expect even a bigger crowd this year. They have the biggest gun show in the borough on the 19th there. It's and 20th of January. It's their fundraiser for the Wasilla hockey team. So Mayor Cottle's very good about letting everybody know about what's going on in his city. Mr. Wallace was there because there wasn't a City of Palmer meeting. Sometimes there's a conflict, and Mr. Wallace can't come, the manager of City of Wasilla, but he was there. He supported what Mr. Cottle was saying about the revenue drop from the vehicle tax change. He says the City of Palmer has suffered in the amount of about $215,000 in that shift of revenues. And he talked a little bit about the formula. The change of formula has not been changed for quite some time, what the borough gives the cities. You know, that could be sort of a Pandora's box, but he wanted to bring that to their attention. He also talked about the fact that you've talked, Mike, that the city of Palmer, because they're on a different fiscal year, have passed their budget fully.
Right.
And they set aside $1 million plus for some paving, some money for parks, and we're going to get a new grader. So that's all good.
Yep.
So that was the report from the city. There was no report from the school district. I'm certain we'll go over some of that, Mike, because they had a meeting the very next day.
Right.
And then they went on to manager's comments. There were quite a few, actually. He talked about the good relationship that they had already established with the Department of Transportation and about the cleanup after the earthquake, that they were quite happy with the services that their lobbyist, John Harris, had been providing with them as getting to know some of the new legislatures that will be in office, as well as the administration, which has had some significant changes. He also talked about something that had been reported. I'd read about it, too, that the borough is still awaiting money from FEMA having to do with the Sockeye fire, I think, or maybe it was the flood. I can't remember, Mike, but they had two disasters around 2012.
Right.
He did indicate there is money that they're waiting. It is sort of a long process. It takes a while. They're confident they will be getting reimbursement for that. It's just the process that you have to go through with FEMA. And he hopes within the next year, 24 months, that part will be cleaned up. But it is a good reminder that even though the government is there to assist in disasters, that money is not immediate. They did get some, the state did, because of the earthquake, immediately from FEMA to start putting the roads back together in South Central. But that normally doesn't happen. There is a process that you have to go through. There's a report from the comptroller having to do with the cyber attack that wasn't too significant. She did report that the earthquake so far, and they're keeping some really tight accounting on this, and that is probably part of the problem from the past disasters, that they now are pretty versed after having a significant fire in the borough and a significant flood. They know how to keep the accounting now for reimbursement for FEMA. So far, they said the schools have spent about $212,000 putting things back together, and the borough spent about $203,000. And so they're keeping quite tight tabs on that.
Was there during the evening a report from EMS about the earthquake?
There was from Casey Cook, but no, not from Mr. Feather, I don't think.
Okay.
They did talk a lot about FEMA and a couple of things I didn't know. Their deductible on their insurance policy is something they can turn into FEMA. And they talked about, how private citizens can get assistance from both the state and from the federal government. Again, it's a process. There's limits on those, although it's not means tested, so it's not having to do with your income as much as it is with your damage. So those are on alaskaready.gov, and that deadline's January 29th, which made me wonder after, Mike, that with all the thawing that's going to go on after, if there is a possibility that things will pop up for people that they didn't know about structurally and what can be done after that. But
sure.
We'll see what happens on that. We'll have a little conversation with Casey about that. So that was basically the report having to do with the earthquake. Terry Dolan gave some really good reports from me, I thought, from Public Works. He talked about the building inspections that they had done. And the process that they used about, firstly getting everybody safe out of the building. The borough building, which no one's really talked about at this point, what damage it may have suffered. A lot of ceiling tiles, it sounds like. They did have engineering look at the building. They were glad to say that the old part, that there wasn't any, since that has been an added-on structure from the old gym to the new piece, they were more worried about the new piece and that there'll be some split in addition there. But they haven't found any major problems, so that's very good to
sure.
hear on our borough building. They do have, in the field right now, the insurance inspector is going out, and they've inspected, 30, at this point, Tuesday, maybe 30 buildings. They don't know exactly what the insurance inspectors will come back to say, but that is being, they're still feeling pretty grateful. Nothing significant for the borough's particular buildings, not to say that doesn't, the schools aren't affected with that. Terry Dolan also talked about the central landfill. Mike, we've had quite a conversation having to do with getting rid of the trash that people accumulated during the earthquake. And, of course, there was legislation, emergency meeting, opening with hopes of opening the landfill for a few days to let people dump for free. That was voted down at the emergency bill meeting. It was brought back by Assemblyman Ted Leonard, Mr. Mayfield from Big Lake, who's really been intensely trying to get it done. And it passed. And so now they have the tab. There was a lot of concern about how much that would cost. And Mr. Dolan was at the ready to know what the initial land fee waiver costs were and how it broke down by weight by station, which I thought was kind of interesting. The total cost of both the loss in revenue, you know, to charge people to dump, and also manpower, they include the manpower costs of
sure.
people that they had to bring in for overtime and on-call that they normally wouldn't, was about $68,000. Over 50% of it came into the central landfill, and 30% of it came into Big Lake, and the rest was just, you know, out in Sutton, Butte, Willow, Talkeetna. But it was the first time I had heard the Public Works Director say that this could also be a FEMA charged off as asking for reimbursement from FEMA, which kind of would have been helpful, I think, had they known that when they were voting on it. It may have been something that he just found out, too. But we'll see. That whole amount could be reimbursed from FEMA. But at any cost, it seems like a small amount of money to help the public out and getting rid of. And it wasn't the enormous amount that I think that a couple of assembly members, Mr. Sumner, Mr. McKee, were worried about would be the total tab. So good for Mr. Dolan for having that ready to go and with a good explanation of it. And it went well. Apparently, it was pretty slow. They didn't really get anything out of the regular until Friday afternoon. And then things started to pick up, which makes sense. People were working and doing other things. They at one point had to turn people away at the Big Lake landfill because it was too full. All the containers were too full there. Or it's not a landfill there. It's actually a collection station. But
right.
They did extend the hours to the central landfill and wait for people to bring it here. So they thought, all in all, they provided really good customer service. Nothing out of the extraordinary happened, and they had a good method for tracking it. So bravo to them.
Yep, good information to answer the questions that people have about costs associated. But the reimbursement idea sounds good too.
Yeah. So the one thing that maybe came up about EMS, perhaps, was Mr. Mayfield did ask the. I think it was actually Mr. Sykes started off, one of them, talked about the response that the borough, the public response in the public effort, that it didn't really match the real effort that was going on. And I think everybody knows by this point that Facebook was pretty much afire because Anchorage kind of really did a wonderful job of letting citizens know what was going on from the minute it happened almost.
Right.
And that there were a couple assembly people, Mr. Mayfield and Mr. Sykes, that both heard a lot from people about it and that they were worried that the public effort didn't match the real effort. And then Manager Moosey owned up to it, said that they had learned a lot and that they learned that, you know, no matter what they hear, they put out that the public needs to hear what's going on and they need to hear from the mayor and the assembly.
Right.
And that they felt that they had really listened and learned. Hopefully we won't be in that position again, but undoubtedly we will. Mr. Mayfield wanted to know if the Assembly would have any opportunity to weigh on in any public information policy changes. Mr. Moosey said that he would indeed let them know how they were changing that method after. So lessons learned after the disaster on that front, I think. So good that they had a conversation about it, Mike.
Good. Good. Thank you.
Not much from the attorney. He's doing a lot of thing about insisting in their offices, of course, in, assisting in the insurance ends of things and had provided a couple of legal memos to the assembly, but they didn't really talk about what they were.
I think there's a, wasn't there, may have been mentioned before about a lawsuit involving EMS that's still hanging out there somewhere? Was that?
Yeah, and that one really hasn't been very public. They have had executive sessions on that. But
okay.
Nothing that I think that the borough attorney has shared in public.
Got it. Okay.
And there was really just a few things on the agenda after that, Mike, but really nothing that really had any big impact. The only thing, there was two vetoes on the
And they were?
Which usually is kind of a bigger deal than one. One was, they were both mayoral vetoes from the mayor, having to do with, number one, two meetings that were scheduled during the joint school board assembly meeting. One had to do with the wetlands issue, and one had to do with air quality. And Mr. Halter felt that, first of all, his memo talked about the fact that he felt it was an inappropriate time to bring it up during a joint meeting, that he wanted to not try to do that next time they had a joint meeting. But the other thing was that he just felt that those things were both headed to the Planning Commission, and that they should wait to hear from the Planning Commission. It's great to hear from the public, but he felt there was going to be plenty of time to have a work session after the Planning Commission did their work. So they were split up in two different vetoes. The first one they took up was the wetland mitigation. And that one supported the mayor, so there will not be a work session at this point on the wetland mitigation. Now, of course, it can always be brought back down the line a little bit. I think those that supported the mayor said, perhaps it was just time to see what the lay of the land was with the legislature, give it a little bit time, and maybe do it after the first of the year. So I don't think it's no forever, but I think at this point it's off the table for sure. The other one, having to do with air quality, they did override the mayor veto. They won't be taking any action at the work session, but that one will go ahead.
So there will be a work session on air quality.
There will be a work session for that one, at least at the end of this meeting. That was the decision on January 22nd.
So who voted to support the veto?
I think the vote support was Mr. Sumner and Mr. Sykes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and I think it just had to do really with that procedural thing about the Planning Commission. Doing the work first. But there's nothing to, I know the Planning Commission has, I guess, now punted it down into February. So the work session will actually happen before the Planning Commission hears it. But, as someone pointed out, there's no reason the Planning Commission can't hear the public testimony.
Right.
That happens at the work session.
Well, sure.
There will be no legislation passed, but they really felt that, I think, there's just been a lot of misinformation, and want to get the real word out there.
Okay.
So that's the way it my meeting ended. Did you go to the school board meeting?
I was there for a portion of it. I shared streaming duties with Lee, and there were probably, let's see. I would say there were three things that are of note, four things that I'll bring up. In order, there was a little kerfluffle because there was an executive session at 4:30 prior to the 6 o'clock regular meeting. And immediately when I arrived to set up for the regular meeting, the minutes from that discussion were already up on the website, and they're available. Saul Friedman, who's a lawyer engaged by the district, was there. And the issue was brought up by Ole Larson, and the question was whether this process was being handled well, why there was an early meeting. He did not feel he had been informed about it enough. And then there's a technical aspect that you have to actually start a regular meeting before you can go into the executive session.
Right. Yeah, do it differently.
And so it was like maybe something that could have been avoided with a little bit more forethought on the part of the people who put the agenda and set that up. But in any case, that went by. The big news, and maybe you're aware of it, is board member Ruth is not going to be board member anymore.
I heard that.
Yeah, she's going off to another place, and so I'm guessing this will kick in the appointment process finding a selection for someone to replace her.
And, from the Big Lake area.
And she's from the Big Lake area, so that's going to be a big deal, a really big deal.
Yeah, I think she was unopposed in her last time, so I...
Yeah, so I think, people have...
Did they talk about when that might start?
If they did, I did not have part of that, so I didn't have that. The third thing was a very positive thing. Pioneer Peak had been chosen as one of the 300 Blue Ribbon schools in the nation. And earlier in the day, Mary Watts, who's the principal there, had come in, and Jillian Morrissey interviewed her about what they had done to accomplish this feat. And they gave Mary was there and gave a presentation to the school board. It's a very, very significant thing to be chosen in this fashion. You go through a long application. So that happened. Also, the board considered some more policy issues, and in particular, the CIP list. I don't have the detail of all of that, but that's up there. And they were pretty much out of that meeting by about 8:30, as I remember, 8:30, quarter to nine. So last meeting of the year, they canceled their early meeting in January, so they will not be meeting until January 16th, I believe.
Yeah, which is the day after the assembly meets again. Well, they'll have a January 3rd work session with this new state delegation at the legislative office at 10 a.m., and then they don't have another meeting, Mike, until the 15th of January as well.
Right. So we have pretty much a month where we won't be seeing regular meetings from either of those bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, the city of Palmer does meet, though, right?
Oh, yeah, but the assembly and the school board, what I think about. Yeah, the city of Palmer comes back and relaxes into the beginning of the year post-budget, which is always a nice thing.
Yeah, I think that is kind of smart on their part, to be able to be sort of out of the fast pace of everybody having to do budgets, because I think the city of Wetzel is on the same mid-year budget that the borough is. So they've got theirs in place. The only not-so-great thing about that is you've got your budget set before you know what the portion is coming from the borough, but it is always a race to finish, so there's always those unknowns anyway. But City Palmer seems to have a really good structure. They don't really have a lot of theatrics and craziness happening during their budget process, and it seems to go pretty smoothly, at least as long as I've been watching.
Okay. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for covering the borough assembly meeting, and we're done doing this kind of stuff for 2018, because Christmas will be coming and all the rest of that, and then we'll be heading into the new year, and all of the implications that has with a legislature that will definitely be doing some things that will be affecting the budgets of both the school board and the borough assembly. So have a happy holiday, and
you too, Mike. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests did not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.